Thank you for your prayers for us as a family and in the work that we seek to do. Just a quick update. Sue will be glad for your prayers right now. Her mum is in hospital at the minute, had another fall, and has taken a bump down both medically and physically, and we're wondering what's going to happen next. I can't really see her going back to her own home, but we'll just have to see. So, difficult times, be grateful for your prayers for that. Otherwise, we more or less managed to avoid COVID. For the church at Mere, we had to have a partial close down over Christmas, and we're just starting up things again now. We will be restarting our we're meeting in person, and the congregations are about what they were before COVID, so we're doing all right. And new people turn up from time to time, so we're really grateful for that. Really grateful that all our refurbishment in the building is now finished, so we've got a nice building. If you came along to the report meeting, you would have seen for yourself. Thank you for those that did. So we're grateful for the premises. We're grateful for what the Lord is doing. The toddler group, we will restart in the just after the half term, and that is going well. And thanks to Facebook, we realise that if you post it on the village Facebook site and plug things through there, then people respond and come. So we've become very Facebook savvy these days. We call it Music with Mike because I sing a whole bunch of songs with the children as the focal point of the toddlers. But of course, the real point is that we talk with the mums, and in amongst the conversations, you can say something about Jesus, which is why we do it. Brunch is also really popular. We've had to take a little break for that, but again, we will be restarting brunch after half term. That's really popular, 10:30. I think the most popular part of brunch is actually the bacon and egg roll, but that it works really well, and that's a good time, it seems, for a lot of people in Mere. Other things that we're doing, two of our leadership team have experienced what it is to be widowed in the not-so-distant, and have just started a group for those who are newly bereaved, and we're looking for great things for those, because one of them, frankly, Sandra is a better evangelist than I am. If she meets anybody, sooner or later, she's going to tell them about Jesus, you know. A number of people in our congregation have been brought to the Lord through her. So I'm looking for great things in this new group. We have acquired the ladies' group that meets in the village and has now started meeting in the chapel. Pray as we infiltrate that group that we will be able to use it for the Lord. I am speaking at the next meeting, I'm going to be talking about antique costumes. There we are. One of the things that I do. So pray about that. And what else? We've also acquired the youth group in the village, and that meets in the chapel. So there are opportunities, and things are looking good, picking up nicely. Not many of us, but do pray about that. In the schools, things have picked up nicely. I've got another Twilight teacher training. That's me in a school doing training teachers at the end of the school day. And I've got another one of those coming up very shortly. On our sacre, something remarkable has happened. Apparently, the local authority has found the magic money tree. Because previously, we had an RE advisor and they didn't pay him enough hours. So I was picking up all kinds of stuff as chair of SACRE, chair of the committee that writes the syllabus, that should be done by an RE advisor. Well, now the local authority has employed not one, but two. So we've got James, who is our primary advisor, and Shell, who was our secondary RE advisor. Both are teachers in Somerset schools. I love the pair of them. So I'm really pleased about that. Two new RE advisors, and our coming SACRE meeting will be the first one for the pair of them. I think we're going to get on really well. So that is better for me. It's better for the schools. So pray about that. New beginnings on SACRE. Thank you for your prayers. I think that's it pretty much in a nutshell. Let's move on. Our reading today is from 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'll read it from the screen and then I can't get it wrong, can I? Now, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And if you feel like giving up, well, maybe you're in good company, because from time to time, the best of us do. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." And Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came to a broom bush, and he sat down under it and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "I've had enough. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." And then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." And he looked around, and there by his head was some baked bread over hot coals and a jar of water. And he ate and he drank and he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and strengthened by that food, he travelled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn your altar down, and put the prophets to death with the sword, and I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put the prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. They're trying to kill me too." And the Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king over Israel, and anoint Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as a prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him." I feel like giving up. So did Elijah. Let's pray. Lord, these can be difficult times. Will you bring your encouragement to each one of us through your word now? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Elijah felt depressed, defeated, drained. He just wanted to die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "I've had enough. Just take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." You felt like that? I guess most of us have. I know I have. Plenty of times. Why? Because we're human, aren't we? We are human. Frail humans. Flawed humans. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." And Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Think about what had just happened. This has followed a triumph on Mount Carmel, hadn't it? When God had answered Elijah's prayers, a fire fell from heaven. The sacrifice was burnt up. The rain followed the drought. Think about it. The prophets of Baal were humiliated and then put to the sword. Elijah alone had smashed the opposition by the power of prayer. Yes? It had been an absolute triumph. What on earth was he being afraid for? Why was he scared? You would have thought the opposite would have been the case after all that. But the truth is this. The truth is that after any big event, right after our greatest spiritual moments, when the adrenaline has gone and we are physically exhausted, we are vulnerable. Even at that moment, we are vulnerable to the devil's attacks. It's true. And none of us, not even Elijah himself, is immune to human frailty. Because you and I are not superheroes, are we? We are not meant to be. And our loving Heavenly Father, our Maker, doesn't expect us to be. We are frail human beings in all our weakness. And the good news is, God knows, He understands, and He loves us unconditionally anyway. The Bible encourages us with these words. We've got this treasure, eternal life, the message of the gospel. We've got this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power, the power that was shown on Mount Carmel, this power is from God and not from us. A treasure. An all-surpassing power in jars of clay. So there will be times when we feel weak. There will be times when we fail. There will be times when we are afraid. And like the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the soldiers came for Jesus, there are times when we just want to run away and hide, aren't there? You want it all to go away. And perhaps you might be feeling a bit like that right now. Anxious, afraid, uncertain. Maybe you're feeling physically and emotionally exhausted. Well, if you are, you're in good company, because Elijah was like that. And I guess you're surrounded by others that will identify with the way you feel. And Elijah was depressed, let's face it, he was depressed. We read he went on a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, he sat down under it and prayed he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, I'm no better than my ancestors." Are you in the wilderness? Are you feeling depressed? Who did Elijah tell? His heavenly Father, didn't he? That's a good start. He started by telling God how he felt, and he told it as he is. He had a good old moan, didn't he? To God. That's good. You read the Psalms. They're full of it. David has a good old moan to God, doesn't he? Plenty of times he has a good old moan. And yet the moan ends up in praise time and again as he gets a sense of perspective in the presence of Almighty God. So, don't pretend if you're feeling depressed. Name it, acknowledge it, unpack it. Say it like it is. Tell it to your Father God, first of all. And then you might consider going and telling it to your doctor. Yeah? Come on, guys, what are you there for? Go and see your doctor. I can remember one time a few years back when I was feeling depressed, and I went to see my GP. Happened at that time, that particular GP was a Christian. And he had a little questionnaire, and one of the questions were, do you sometimes feel like wanting to kill yourself? And I thought about it, I said, well, sometimes. And the two are often linked. Elijah didn't really want to die. He wanted the hurt to stop. He wanted it all to go away, okay? That's what's really going on. Why? Because he'd had enough. He had reached the end. But he did the best thing he could, and he put it into words. He said it like it was. So in church, when we meet each other, and I'm glad that we're not in a hurry to start the service, it's good to talk. We need to talk. And we meet each other and we say, how are you? Don't say fine if you're not. And don't ask if you've not got time for an honest answer. Because sometimes you may ask me how I am, and the answer is going to be a long one when I'm not fine, right? Right. So let's be honest and stop lying to each other, right? Because that's what love really is. To love enough to ask, and to love enough to listen, and to trust enough to tell it like it is. I can remember going to my doctor's. Wonderful thing about living in North Petherton is everything's 2-minute walk. So I was going to my doctor's, and a neighbour sees me going there. How are you? Oh, fine, I say. And then I laughed at myself because I was going to my doctor's limping like this because I'd really hurt my leg. You know? I wasn't fine. I was in agony. But that's what we do, isn't it? We do it all the time. Isn't that stupid? So honesty is a healthy thing and a step to the road of recovery. My wife has got a great book which she recommends. It's okay to be not okay. It's okay to be not okay. That's a good title, isn't it? That's a good title. And she says it's a helpful book, Preaching the Lament Psalms. It's okay to not be okay. Twice Elijah says, only I am left. Why? Because he felt so alone. But look around you guys, you're not alone, are you? You're not alone this morning. Because you're here, aren't you? And you're surrounded by your family, your church family. And that is a real thing. You're not alone, nor are we meant to be. God puts us in community. That's the point of the church, to not come here, have a service and disappear, to be family. It's God's best for you and me to love and support one another, to be there for each other. as the theme song of Friends puts it, we and our Father God are there for you, and you are not alone. And then we read about Elijah being refreshed. So there's Elijah, and he's in the deepest, darkest depths of depression. He's hit the bottom, he's feeling suicidal, he's feeling utterly alone, and he pours it all out to God. And what does God do? Lets him sleep, doesn't he? Come, you need to sleep. And then after a good sleep, he gives him a good hot meal, lets him sleep some more, lets him eat some more. Why? Because we are physical human beings, aren't we? We are in this body. And as we look after our body, we look after our mind, don't we, Hannah? Goodness, she's looking after her body, all right? I can't keep up with all her running. And it matters. It matters. We should recognize that we're physical beings. And God knows that. And he knows what we need, and God is not mean. So he takes Elijah to a quiet place where he can rest, eat, sleep, and get some headspace. Do you do that? Do you do that? At the beginning of COVID, I thought, I'm going to learn oil painting. I've done watercolours up until now. I'll learn to do oils. And I've got a huge box of canvases, 24 canvases. I'm on my third box now. And I'll just go and paint down the bottom of my garden in my shed. I just paint. Lovely. And I've got the radio on, and it's a refreshing thing to do. Now, I don't know what your thing is that you do, but hobbies are good, aren't they? And if you haven't got a hobby, get one. It can be good for our mental well-being. I know somebody else, and he's got a Hornby train set, and he plays with his trains. Lovely. Whatever is your bag. Yeah? And if you are feeling low, maybe you need a hobby. And you need to realize that it helps your headspace. The worst thing you can do is stiff up a lip, you know? Carry on as if nothing is wrong. And if you are struggling, maybe you need some time off, right? Some rest, real rest. And the first step to looking after your mind is to look after your body. So when I saw my doctor, after listening to me for a little while, the doctor said, what do you like to do for relaxation? And I thought for a minute, and I thought, well, take the dog for a walk in the woods. Right, he said. I'm not going to prescribe you pills at this time, he said. And if he does prescribe you pills, you need them, take them. But he said, right, well, I'm going to prescribe, go and take your dog for a walk in the woods every day. And that will do you more good than pills. And how right that is. Yeah? Exercise. Especially in a nice place. Can't understand why people go to a gym. Well, what's nice about a gym? You know, woods or the gym? Where would you rather be? Yeah? Okay, it rains in the woods sometimes, but I don't care. Neither does the dog. But another nice thing for going for a walk is this. When I'm walking the dogs out in the middle of nowhere, I can pray. And I usually do. I mean, you've got plenty of things to spark you to pray. You say, wow, Lord, it's a beautiful day. Isn't it wonderful here? Is it great to, you know? And I can pray, and I usually pray out loud, and the dog don't mind. Good. And if things are difficult, I'll have a moan, and if I'm feeling uplifted, I can praise. And that's good. Another thing you can do, another positive step, is to count your blessings. David recommends that we do this. Praise the Lord, O my soul. We sang it, didn't we? Bless the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. My goodness, aren't we blessed? Come on, guys. We're blessed, aren't we? Lifts my heart every time I come to Bath. I love this place. Don't you? Hasn't God put you in a good place? I should think so. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, he heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Wow, there's a good list, isn't it? We should count our blessings. Make a conscious effort. And as the old song says, count your blessings, name them one by one. And you can do a lot worse than read Psalm 103 out loud to yourself, because it gives you a very useful list of God's blessings. Thank God for them. Name them one by one. Forget not all his benefits. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. And as we do that, something wonderful can happen. God speaks in the quietness, in that still, small voice. Not through the earthquake, not through the wind and the fire. He speaks in a still, small voice from deep within our being. Doesn't he? Doesn't he? He who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion will lift you out of this pit. He who speaks words of hope, and as he speaks, brings his overwhelming peace and joy. There is hope. As the psalmist says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He'll make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And don't fret when people succeed in their ways and when they carry out their wicked schemes. Don't fret. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Again and again, the psalmist encourages us with these words. Trust in him. Do not fret. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. God has got your back. However you feel, God has got your back, and he will give you his way back out of that pit to safe pasture, even the desires of your heart. And God sent a refreshed and restored Elijah back the way he had come, didn't he? And he sent Elijah with a plan to transform the situation that had depressed him. And Jezebel, who had started it all, she was toast, wasn't she? She was toast. Trust him. Trust him. Bring the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the love of God. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Be with us all, evermore. Amen.